How are you?
Bob, how are you, man? Steve, what's going on?
We're just kicking ass, taking names. So, you look at this thing from a completely different perspective than Casey does. He is the head coach. He has different responsibilities. He's interested in what happens tonight and maybe a little less tomorrow night. Your vision has to be a lot longer term. As you look at this team, would there have been any benefit? And I know this is hindsight, but would there have been any benefit in saying, all right, if you guys can win playing offense, keep doing what you're doing? Do you think that could have made any kind of a difference? Because the last couple of months have been, you know, not as good for your team.
Yeah, I think it can, Bob. It depends on the way you look at it. But at the end of the day, if you are trying to win now, you know, like you're trying to make an impression now, and you say, hey, your team is going to win now. I think yes, you can look at it that way, and you say, okay, we go all out. But honestly, Bob, let's look at ourselves and face reality. We're a building team, we're a growing team, we're a learning team, and teams are gonna go through these hard times, this tough times, and we haven't played well. We haven't played well defensively. I think offense, we have players that are capable, will always be good, but I think we just have to find something that will take us through defensively, you know, and then continue to grow. But hey, we're getting punched in the face and we're getting beaten doesn't mean, you know, it's the end of the world. That's sports. That's competitive sports, and we have to go out there and at the end of the day play. So if you are building long term, I think, Bob, it's hard to say, okay, just go play offense. You know, it's very hard to do that, because you can continue to do that, and in the end, you're going to come and face the same question: is how are you, what are your defensive abilities? What's your defensive identity? And that's what we have to, I think, what we have to build for the future.
And which is the real team, Masai? Is the real team the team at the beginning of the season, or is the real team the team we're seeing right now?
I think the real team is the team you saw in the beginning of the season, and we were still not a great defensive team. But as Grievous said, we had an identity. You know, like when you start to you lose a little bit, you know, like it takes a while. You know, if you remember, we went through it for a little bit there in January, just right after the West Coast trip, and then all of a sudden you win 1-2, San Antonio, Clippers, Atlanta. We beat 4 or 5 teams in a row. We won 10 out of 12. So it's quick to swing like that. This one has stayed a little bit long, you know, like we're in and out of injuries with Kyle. It stayed a little bit longer, but I think gearing up for the playoffs, you know, like everybody is kind of going to get back tuned in again, try and get back some confidence there on the defensive side of the ball. So, Bob, are we as good as, you know, like 25-7 or whatever it was? Maybe not. Are we as bad as losing 10 out of 12 or 10 out of, I don't know what the number is, you know, like
something like that.
So, yeah, so I know there's huge expectations, but you know what? That's what comes with sports, man. That's why we're in this business. We're in this business to compete. We're in this business to go and play and go to win, and we want to win. So for me, do away with the excuses and go play. You get punched in the face, stand up and go back again, you know, like, and you're not going to win all the time in sports, but you're going to go out there and compete and try to.
Masai, will Kyle Lowry be 100% healthy at any point this season?
Yes, he will. I trust that he will. I think Kyle is going back to do the work. The blow in the back was unlucky. It happens, you know. Like, listen, these injuries happen to good teams. You know, like we talk about Chicago. They've played without a couple of their guys, and they withstood. You know, like the blows that were coming at them. They lost a lot and just persevered and continued. They didn't have Butler. They don't have Rose. You know, like, so when we don't have our All Star for a few games here, you know, we have to go there and fight. You know, everybody sometimes complains about playing time. They complain, oh, now is go play. You know, this is the time to go play.
But as somebody who's, and I mentioned this earlier, has had back issues during the course of my life, here's what I understand. You know, if you have to go down with some kind of injury, the last one I want to see from my athletes is a back injury, because you never know. You almost can never fix it, and you never know when it will recur, except you're pretty sure it's going to recur. And that's, I think, the concern that everybody has to have about Lowry.
Yes, it's always a concern, you know, like it's the same thing we said when DeMar had that, you know, like a groin injury. Well, it's the groin and it's jumping and it's the same thing with any injury, honestly, Bob. I understand the back and I understand your point. I had a back issue too when I was cherry picking in Europe, but it's still, you know, it's an injury. We have to attack it as normal, and you have to hope for the best. You can't continue worrying. And he's our all-star, and it is a concern for us. But we have the best medical staff. We believe that Kyle Lowry is strong enough and will persevere this, and we'll get back on track.
How are you going to manage him and manage the injury over those last 10 games? I assume he is itching to get back out and play. But you have to think about you have to think about getting him as close to 100% health as you can before the playoffs. How are you going to do that?
Yes, it's rest. I think, you know, we're not going to force him back at all. I think there's no desperation here. We'll try and grind those games we have next. You know, like, I get Kyle the necessary rest that Kyle needs, and then when he's able to play at his own time, we'll definitely try and figure that out.
It would appear that a Washington matchup is the most likely at this point in time. It's not, we don't know that that's going to happen, but that seems the most likely scenario. So preview that potential series for us. What is it about Washington that concerns you? What is it about Washington that makes you think, assuming you do, that your team can beat them?
Yeah, honestly, Bob, I don't want to go there because, you know, like, we don't know what it is. There's still so many games to go. You know, like, it could be them. It could be Milwaukee.
You never know.
Like, Washington could get on a roll here, and it could be a 4-5 matchup with Chicago if both of us, you know, fall and Washington all of a sudden goes on an unbelievable roll and gets third position, you know. Like, so I hate to always, you know, like, even talking about the playoffs, I didn't even know. You know, last night my wife comes down from upstairs and gives me a hug after an hour after the game, and I was wondering what the hell is going on. And apparently we clinched a playoff spot. You know, like, she saw that. You know, so for me it's not important now. You know, like, let's get ready as a team. You know, like, Washington will be Washington. In the playoffs, honestly, I've been in this situation, Bob, where you're saying, okay, that team, this team, I've been in. The one you want, they come and they kick your ass, you know. Like, so
I understand.
Let's go out there and prepare and just be ready for anything that comes our way. And it's the playoffs. Everybody just takes it to another level. It's the best time of the year. It's the time you're going to compete and play and fight, you know. So we're in there. We're hoping we get in there with a good place, and whoever the opponent is, you know, like, we want to be ready to face them.
How are you going to, at the end of this year, Masai, how are you going to, you know, measuring the progress of this team? If you had, the fan base would have said after last year, well, we're going to win a playoff series. That's going to be the next step. We're going to win a playoff series next year. Earlier in the season, they might have been dreaming bigger than that. But when it's all is said and done at the end of the playoffs, how are you going to measure whether this team has progressed?
I think you look at it collectively as a team. You look at it, obviously you're going to look at results. That's natural with how we look at, evaluate progress, with a team. We'll look at players individually. We'll look at everything, you know, like, we'll look at our style of play, everything. I think it's going to be real easy. You can tell even in the first round, I don't want a first-round exit. You want to progress as much as you can. But even in that, I think you're going to be able to measure and evaluate your team and see, you know, some of the things that you're going to be able to fix. We're in a good position, you know, like, we've got good players. young talent, and they are growing. I think another point, Bob and Steve, when you look at this thing, you know, like it's not like last year was the first time DeMar has maybe even had a winning record in Toronto, and maybe even the first year in the playoffs. I know for sure, but I know for sure Jonas was the first time in the playoffs. Terrence was the first time. Maybe James Johnson, it'll be the first time. Memphis, I don't know last year if he played a bit, but all these players, even Kyle Lowry, okay, he won, and maybe he played in the playoffs 1 year or a couple, 1 year in Houston. Amir Johnson was first time last year. We haven't won anything, you know, like we haven't done anything yet. Yeah, there was a hoopla of, okay, yeah, we went to the playoffs. We haven't done anything. So these guys are actually young players learning to win, you know, like, so it's not like we're putting players here that have been in the playoffs for the last 6 years and, oh, we haven't gone to we're trying to win a playoff round. We're learning to win, and we're going to win. And these guys, they're determined. I know they are fighting through it. I know Coach Casey is fighting through it, and we'll figure out a way.
I guess that's kind of good. So that the importance of winning the first round player. You're in the playoffs now officially as of last night, so we'll talk about it as reality. The importance of winning. You're, you know, talking about a winning culture and learning how to win playoff series. So whatever the long view is in terms of the evolution of this team towards a championship, winning that series is important in terms of creating that culture, is what you're saying, right?
Yes. I think it's very important for us. To win a playoff series, I think, is one of the most difficult things to do. You know, like it's grind. Every team is studying your team, same team every day for 7 games, maybe it's 6, sometimes maybe it's 5. But it's a big time grind, you know, and it's a big time challenge. They know every move, everything you are going to do, and you have to get creative. You have to fight every possession, and real men come out then, you know, like, and we'll know, you know, like, I think the evaluation will be right there and we'll see it with our team.
With Masai Ujiri, the president of basketball operations and general manager of the Toronto Raptors, one of the things that this team has done, and I'm interested in whether it was deliberate, discussed, projected at the beginning of the season, or whether it's just evolved this way, has been the limitation of the number of minutes your starters play and your key players play. Now, you have literally a second five that you can put in there. I understand they don't always play a lot of minutes together, but they play a substantial number of minutes. It means that at the end of the season, theoretically, your starting five is not overworked. Lowry, with the injury, may be a bit of an exception there, but I wonder whether you think Casey or the organization projects significantly more minutes for your starters once you get to the postseason, or are you reluctant to break up the pattern you've already created?
Oh, no, by far, Bob, this is done super intentionally, you know, like I can really tell you that, you know, like there's no coincidence that you try to give those guys as much rest, and you try and build a bench, you know, like that, at least guys that can come in and play. We know DeMar, we know Kyle, those guys are eventually, they're going to play heavy minutes, you know, like, and now this is the time. Once you're going into the playoffs, you want to create some kind of rhythm within the team. I'm sure Coach Casey will have that mapped out, but those guys, their minutes are not going to stay down the way I see it. I see it, you know, like going up a little bit, and this is why they've kind of been saved, is for this time of the year.
Well, and you would know yourself. I mean, when Vince Carter was here, it was not unusual for him to play 40 minutes. Even Boogie Williams would play 40 minutes a lot of the time. 40 was sort of a number. Like Stockton and Malone in Utah would play 42 to 44 minutes almost every night. You don't see that as much in the NBA anymore.
Yes, it's a grind now. I think, with what the players go through preseason, the whole year, off-season, all those type of workouts. You know, we have to, I think we have to be careful on how, with all the injuries still happening, I think we have to be careful how we put these players out there, and sometimes even try and save them a little bit. And that's kind of what we've tried to do. Don't get me wrong, you know, like, it pisses off Kyle, it pisses off DeMar, you know, like, this is not, these guys are, they are competitive guys, you know, like, it's not the easiest thing for coach to do, you know, like, we're here trying to, you know, like, help them, manage them, and all that. They're just competitive guys, and but this is the time you save them for.
The NCAA tournament, I don't have to remind you, is back on tonight.
That's right.
I assume is the focus of your attention, other than watching your own team play. Is that your primary objective right now? Is essentially scouting, looking at possible draft choices.
I'm calling you from Cleveland. I just flew to Cleveland.
There you go.
Got here about an hour ago, and watched those two games here. Go watch two games in Houston tomorrow, and then one game in LA on Saturday, and then back home on Sunday. It's 100% where our focus is now. You get to see players play in intense moments, you know, and
right.
we put all our resources into this, and quite a few prospects, you know, like, it's a good time to watch basketball for sure.
I know you can't talk about specifics, and I wouldn't ask you about it, but in a general sense, in this new age, well, I guess it's not that new anymore. I'm just an old guy who remembers when players used to actually play 4 years of college basketball. You know, where the star players, it's one and done almost invariably. How do you evaluate the crop this year in a general sense, you know, as you prepare for a draft in a few months from now?
I never go into a draft, honestly, Bob, looking at it as a bad draft, you know, like, it's a time where the NBA rules has permitted us to look for players at this time, and it's almost it's one of the only ways where you can find players. So we get our guys geared up. You know, we have a couple guys heading to Europe today. I'm on the road with Jeff Wildman. You treat it full on. Even in bad drafts, you find good players. You know, like, and I think this one is okay. You know, like, this one is I think we can say it's a good draft, and we're going to attack it the best possible way we can. Like, scouting is my background. This is how I got into the league. So
we know.
I'm passionate about it, and so is our staff. So we look at it in every possible way that we can.
Remind us, do you have picks in both the first and second rounds?
We have in the first and not in the second.
How does that influence your decision in your first round, or does it at all? The fact that you, at this point, barring some kind of move, only have the one selection.
You know, you attack it, and you want to get the best, player possible. I think one of the things in the way we projected too is next year we almost projected the way we brought in Bruno, and we knew this year was going to be like a wash year, so. We wanted to get him stronger. We knew where he was as a basketball player. So next year is Bruno's first year in our opinion. We just thought it was something that we couldn't pass over last year. So this year we're going to figure out what the need is going to be as we go along here, and figure out the best talent that we can get to come and. To come and be a part of the Toronto Raptors.
Now, meanwhile, is anybody going to give Kentucky a game?
Oh, they're pretty good now.
Yeah, I think so.
I hate the tournament, Bob. You know, like it's the NBA. When you get beat, you know, like you say, you know what, you got beat. You have 7 games or 5 games, or how many games you got beat? But I'm telling you, one day. I get so nervous watching them play. You know, like just because you know you. They're good. They're so good, you know, like, but you never know what can happen. Just, you know, one time, one team just gets hot, stays with them till, you know, like the middle of the second half, and then all of a sudden there's always the crowd there that starts going for the underdogs, you know, like in the tournament. So I get nervous, but I will say they're pretty good.
Well, there's lots of Cinderella stories to talk about. Michigan State, North Carolina State. Isn't Wichita still in it?
Wichita State's playing Notre Dame tonight.
Yeah. I mean, even Notre Dame is, you know, I mean, they're a good basketball team, but they weren't, you know, a top seed. So there's lots of Cinderellas in this tournament, Masai.
Yes, no, there is, and it's going to continue. That's just the nature and the history of the tournament, is that there's probably going to be one Cinderella in the Final Four, and who will it be? You know, that's why we watch it, and that's why it's so gripping.
Enjoy your time in Cleveland and then in Houston, and thanks a lot for taking a few minutes for us. We always appreciate it. You know that.
Thanks, Bob. Thanks for having me. And thanks, Steve. I appreciate you guys.